coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Web Show. And now, here's the guy who couldn't drive a stick shift either, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino here with you guys live on a Tuesday morning. It's December 4th. It's a little after noon on the East Coast, a little after 9 on the West Coast, and we are going to get into it on this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to talk about, live with you, the Amazing Race 21 is coming down to the home stretch. One episode left, a two-hour finale coming up this Sunday night. We'll recap what happened in the last episode and look ahead to see who could just maybe the winner of the Amazing Race 21. Plus, Survivor is getting down to its final six. We're going to talk about what just happened and what could happen next. Maybe talk about some secret scenes if the mood takes us. Hear from you guys live. Send us your questions. You can send us a text question or a video question. Here we are as we're rolling along here on Spreecast on a Tuesday morning. And how is everybody doing? Hope everybody is doing good. Nicole and I did a quick trip to New York over the weekend after I got the podcast posted on Thursday. Nicole and I got in the car, no stick shift, got in the car driving to the airport and going to go visit my mom. It was her birthday on Friday. Happy birthday, Roseanne. And as we're driving along in the car, we get Nicole's like, wait, we got an email from JetBlue. Now your flight is taking off at Long Beach Airport instead of, it was like we got U-turned on the way to the airport. And we're like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? And so we ended up leaving on Friday morning instead from Burbank. Problem with the lights at the Burbank airport. Apparently you need lights on the runway to take off. So we did a quick trip to New York, got to see the family, and then back on a plane on Sunday night, ironically, where I watched the Amazing Race. I watched the Amazing Race from a plane. It was very meta as I was traveling. And then back here yesterday, so catching up on everything, you go away for a couple of days, it doesn't matter. It still slows everything down, but very busy week for me and very busy week in terms of reality TV because we're really starting to get into the home stretch. Another season of Amazing Race, getting ready to put that in the books. Then we've got the Survivor finale rapidly approaching. A week from Sunday is going to be the finale of Survivor Philippines, and it's a very exciting time in the world of reality TV. It's rapidly approaching. Yes, well done, Jessica Frey. Very, very, very good. And this week is the last week to pre-order your commentary for Survivor the Amazon. Jenna Maresk and I went back. We did the whole season of Survivor the Amazon commentary. Been editing the episodes, trying to furiously beat that deadline and get that out to you guys for December 7th, which is this Friday. That's when the commentaries are going to start getting delivered to you electronically. And you can check that out at robhasawebsite.com/commentary. Also, I will also tell you now at this point that my guest on the Survivor podcast this week will be, and I always like to, at the end of a Survivor season, as we get down to it, I do like to check in with winners. We talked to Hatch last week, and you don't get too much of a better winner than that. We'll bring back Jenna Maresca this Thursday on the podcast to talk about what is going on in the Survivor Philippines. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about some Amazing Race here with you guys first up, as we like to do. And let's get your text questions. Get your video questions, hit the blue box over here, and we'll start firing away. So Josh Spalding starts out, what do you make of Ryan telling the airlines that they will hear from his legal counsel? Whoa, this is news to me. I have not heard this. Is this post-show news from Abby and Ryan? Maybe I may have missed that. Yes, so we'll have to get a... I don't know if you can sue anybody about being a loser on The Amazing Race. Maybe you could sort of say, Your Honor, I would have won The Amazing Race if it was not for the incompetence of this airline, and that's why I am due damages of $2 million, what I would have won from you. I don't think you can sue anybody for anything that should have happened on any reality show, let alone The Amazing Race. I think you'd be thrown out of court, and I don't think any lawyer would represent you. Maybe if there's an Amazing Race lawyer, maybe, I know there have been a lot of lawyers on The Amazing Race, maybe they'll go ahead and will represent you in that sort of thing. All right. So let's do a little bit of a recap on this Amazing Race episode. This Amazing Race season has been somewhat frustrating to me because I like to see reality TV because I like conflict. And there is two kinds of conflict on The Amazing Race. There is external conflict and there is internal conflict. So basically you have conflict either the teams fighting within the two-person team, which is always good, and then there's external conflict of the teams fighting with the other teams. And this season, there has not been too much of either things, and especially there has not been too much of the external conflict. I mean, you saw teams basically like running the race and holding hands, which was just completely ridiculous. You are racing for $1 million. And this is not even like a Survivor where you get $100,000 for second place. Do you get anything for second place? I don't think there's even like a second place runner-up prize for The Amazing Race. It really is ridiculous. And Jessica is Jessica Leese, our Amazing Race core reporter. She is fired up, and her camera is up and ready. And so whenever Jessica is good, let's go ahead and let's bring in Jessica Leese, because I got a lot of questions to ask her about what is going on this Amazing Race, if she's ready to go. Otherwise, I will just continue to vamp. But Jessica, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Now, are you in a different, quieter coffee shop this week?
I'm in a bar, actually. Hold on one second. Hey, can I get a Diet Coke?
Wow. Jessica Leese ordering on Spreecast. This is a
sorry, guys. Yeah. I got to buy something, or I can't just mooch off their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Jessica. So I was complaining about the lack of both internal and external conflict on The Amazing Race this season. This season has just been ridiculous. I mean, you have teams basically like holding hands and running the race together. Is there any sort of precedent? Is this the most chummy race that we've ever had?
I think so. I think occasionally you see like an all-star season where they don't really care who wins. I think this is by far the most chummy and warm fuzzy season.
I mean, you would think, I understand in the beginning of the race, there's 11 teams, and it's like, okay, let's all just go after it, like, hey, we're all in this together. But now, we're down to 4 teams, and it's like, really, no sense of urgency from any of the teams.
Well, I wondered about this, and I've been talking about this off of the web show. Is this what's actually happening, or is this just what we're being shown? Because I have heard rumors. I can't reveal my sources or really give you much detail, but I've heard there's actually a lot of animosity, and there was kind of behind the scenes as well. Everybody's not as lovey as they're showing on the race.
Well, Jessica, why would they want to portray an Amazing Race? I understand why they would want to make it seem like there's more conflict when there isn't any, but why would they want to make it seem like there is less conflict when there is more?
Maybe there was a contentious winner. Maybe they didn't want you to hate the person that won.
Oh, now you're speaking like a true insider now, Jessica.
Well, I don't have a lot of inside information, and I don't know all of the details. I just have heard that there are teams that don't like other teams, and that it's not something we've seen a lot of on the show.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to get to the bottom of this. Now, you are going to be attending the TarCon this weekend?
Yep, I'll be there. All right. As will, I guess, about half the teams, so that'll be fun.
Good. And Eric Curdo, I believe he's going to be there as well. So the Rob Has a Podcast Amazing Race team will be out in full force covering the Amazing Race convention, a.k.a. TarCon.
Maybe Eric will bring a camera, and then I won't have to interview anybody.
Yeah, he definitely, if I know Eric, he definitely will have a camera. So that's going to be a lot of fun as we get towards this weekend. But let's keep going with this episode and figure out what exactly went on. Now, as you predicted, the teams all managed to get tied back up here at where we had basically like a whole day off where everybody got to go to the beach in Spain and have a party in the beach. I mean, is this supposed to be the Amazing Race or is this spring break, Jessica?
Well, this is the Amazing Race hitting the reset button so that they don't have two separate production teams. Yeah. What happened there was they just want everybody, for the sake of their camera crews and their producers, they want everybody to be relatively close to each other. So a few times during the race, they just have a point where everybody's got to wait around for a while. And so, I don't think it's tinfoil hat conspiracy time, but it's just something they do a few times every race. Sometimes they need it, sometimes they don't.
That is the Amazing Race, basically. It's not really a race around the world. It's like a race to one place, then everybody catches up, and then everybody is back on the same level playing field. It's like you can't really ever build up a big lead in the Amazing Race.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, they hit the reset button almost every week. You know, it's just basically
This is one of the most clever reset buttons because I've been reading up on this. Apparently it's high tourist season in Mallorca and they have a bunch of flights going there from Amsterdam. So to put them on the boat made it more interesting and gave everybody a chance to catch up.
Okay. Rob has a bastard. Can you explain all the benefits of having the guy with the bad ankle do the tennis challenge? So we have Josh and Brent, which are the Beekman boys. He's fabulous, and he is too. So can you explain why would they have now? Which one was this? Is Josh did the challenge?
Yeah, Josh did the challenge.
Josh did the challenge. Why would Josh do the tennis challenge and not Brent?
Well, my theory as I was watching it was that they're trying to see how long they can last in the race, making the worst possible decisions at every single turn. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't have a good answer for that. It's possible that Josh has more experience playing tennis, or maybe they've got a system worked out for roadblocks. Sometimes people alternate roadblocks, and they don't deviate from the formula.
Yeah.
So they're coming up to the end. They might have had a limit that they're pushing on. There could be many reasons for it. It did seem dumb to the outside viewers and to me as well.
Jessica, I'm starting to feel like maybe, just maybe, I'm starting to believe that Josh and Brent can pull this thing off because they have really, the storyline has sort of been like, oh, don't count us out, don't. You know, we got to get rid of, Ryan and Abby because we need to keep a strong, you know, get rid of a strong team, keep the weak team around, you know, don't bet against us. Like, I just kind of
doubted me last week.
I did doubt
you. You doubted me last week, Rob.
I doubted you.
And I was right.
Now I'm starting to be on board here for the Josh and Brent making a run here.
And here's my other clue. Have you seen their other show? Have you seen any of it at all?
No.
I caught an episode of it. They are terrible to each other on their other show. They bicker constantly. And they're pretty supportive of each other on the race.
Hmm.
That, to me, points to a good edit. So it's possible they're being set up for the win, and the race brass maybe wants you to like them.
That would be very interesting. We'll see, but a lot
That's
of things...
That's me being a conspiracy theorist,
yes,
so
yes.
Who knows?
A lot of things would have to go wrong for the other three teams here, though, for Josh and Brent to pull this off. Like, the challenges would have to really play to their strong suits.
Well, you should never go on the Amazing Race unless you're willing to be very lucky or very unlucky. And people get kicked off reality shows all the time for things that are far out of their control.
Yeah, that's right. One of my favorite moments from this week's show had to do with Trey and Lexi and the bullfighting challenge, which was really just a lot of fun for me when, you know, we had not really seen too much of a breakdown from any of the teams so far in the race, but we had Lexi basically. Is Lexi is the girl, right? Trey is the boy's name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That can go either way, right? I mean, how does it?
Yes.
Trey? Is it like T-R-E, Trey, yeah. Like three?
I think it's T-R-E-Y, Trey. Yeah, it's a trendy 90s name.
Yeah. Is that short for something, Trey?
Yeah, they used to give it. Well, preppies used to give that nickname to people who were the third of their name. Like, if you're somebody the third, they would call you Trey. But then it just became a name that people gave their kids.
Yeah.
So I don't know which he is.
Okay. But so basically they had to basically be a bull, go into a bull costume. And then they had to run into the matadors. A pretty ridiculous challenge, right?
Well, you know what it looked like to me? It reminded me a lot of that challenge, and I know you personally have experience with this, that challenge on Survivor where they tie people together and blindfold them and someone yells directions at them. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, that was great. Now, how did Lexi get her finger cut? Was it just a paper cut?
I think it was at the point... It looked like she jammed it, maybe. Like, at the end of the challenge, there was a part where you had to run into a target, and, like, it would flip a dummy up into the air. But Trey decided he was going to run at it full tilt and knock the entire structure over. And I think at that point, she's probably holding on to something inside the costume and got it caught on something. It looked like a pretty grim injury for just being a cut finger. But I still kind of ragged on her a little bit.
Yes, very grim. Very grim indeed. So... Trey and Lexi, really, I have to say, they're not doing anything for me as far as a race team. That they're not, other than this finger incident, they're not bringing much to the table as far as my enjoyment of The Amazing Race.
Now, they're flying under the radar. They're a very strong and competent team, but they're really boring.
They are very boring, yes.
This team is on the race every single season.
Yes, they definitely are. It was all. I felt like it would have been really good to see more of Lexi, her meltdown, but it was actually pretty short-lived. They've sort of fixed that problem pretty quickly.
Yeah, it seems like they haven't met a lot of adversity, and maybe they have, and we just don't see it because they put themselves together back very quickly. But I've been waiting all season. Like, they're the only ones that haven't melted down over something. And now we finally have it.
Yeah, and they have not had too big of a meltdown. Now, Keith Renfro wants to know, when all the teams get back together, did you think it was going to be a non-elimination leg? What first tipped you off this was going to be a non-elimination leg, Jessica?
The thing that tipped me off actually happened before that, was when I found out there was a two-hour finale, because there's no way they're going to follow three teams for 2 hours. And you know there's going to be four going into the finale. So that's how I knew.
Okay, oh, very interesting. So this week, the Twinsies had a tough episode. They started in first, and they ended up worst. It was a true first-to-last place, and you never like to see this on The Amazing Race. We have seen it.
Well, give too much credit to that. Like, a first-to-worst thing, especially when they bunch everybody together in the middle of the leg, it's not... I mean, it's sad to see, but it's not as dramatic as it could have been.
It's not as
like,
bad.
They were all very close together.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
It's not as dire either.
Week two, when the team that came in first went all the way from first to last place, the girl with one leg, who I could not tell you their names
Amy,
my life.
Her name was Amy. That seems like a long time ago.
Yeah. All right. Alex Fisher wants to know something that I know you have very strong opinions about. How do you like Nadia having to drive stick and do the roadblock, as Natalie complained? All right, Jessica, talk to us about driving stick shift on The Amazing Race.
Well, there are about, I think, of the six continents where you would drive a car, I think four of them still primarily use manual transmission cars. And you got to assume that if you're going to drive on The Amazing Race, you got two out of three times it's going to be a manual transmission car. So that's something you should know how to do. And I really can't be too judgmental because I don't know how to drive at all, but if I were going on the race, that would be the first thing I would learn how to do. Because yeah. It comes up over and over again, and somebody always gets screwed.
Yeah. How long would you estimate that they were stuck for? Was that as bad as it seemed on the TV show?
It's hard to tell. They could have been stuck for 2 minutes, and it was a funny moment that the editors capitalized on, or they could have been stuck for an hour. It doesn't look like the teams were very far apart when they checked in, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's really impossible.
Yeah, it was tough to follow exactly how long. They should, like, tell you, like, on the bottom of the screen, like, elapsed time, 37 minutes of, like, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. Just drive it.
If they were stuck for a significantly long time, they probably would do something like that.
Yeah, they would.
I would say anywhere from 2 minutes to an hour, and yeah. Not really a way of knowing.
Yes. What did you make of the tennis challenge? Did you like that as an amazing race challenge?
I like it as an amazing race challenge, but if I had to do it, I would have been there. It would have had an elapsed time thing on the bottom. That's a level of hand-eye coordination that few can aspire to, I think.
Yes. Which did you prefer on this season of The Amazing Race, regular tennis or table tennis?
Table tennis. They should have had the different paddles on the regular tennis. It would have been like kind of a flashback, like a switchback task.
Should they have had that little girl from China there with like playing with like a frying pan and like a clipboard, and you had to beat her there?
Exactly. Or maybe you're using a bigger ball, so you could use bigger things. Like she could be using a baseball bat or a lacrosse stick or. Exactly, guitar. That's a good one.
Now, what did you make of the challenge in the cave? That seemed like it was very easy. I mean, I'm not a cave specialist, but just figure out where they're playing the music from. I imagine it was very echoey. Is that what the challenge was?
I think so. You just had to pinpoint the source of the music, and I think at first it could be disorienting, but it wasn't. If it had been something really taxing, it would have been an actual detour or roadblock option. Okay. As it was just a way to show something cool about the island.
Okay. That was a very good observation as far as why they would do that challenge. Because I'm saying, like, well, how hard is this? Go find where the music is.
Yeah, it was not necessarily designed to test them so much as it was designed to show off the cave.
Do you think that we will ever see changes made to The Amazing Race where they say teams are not allowed to work together?
How could they enforce that? I can't imagine that happening.
Yeah.
Having to see a producer slapping someone's wrist every 5 minutes.
Do you think that the Amazing Race fans like seeing this level of cooperation, or do we want to see more fighting?
I think we always want to see more fighting. I was just talking to a friend about competitive reality shows versus non-competitive reality shows, and almost every single non-competitive reality show involves the main characters fighting all the time. And someone's got to be fighting or it's not compelling television.
Master of Insanity wants to know, what did you make of the headless Matt Greeter? What was that supposed to reference? Yeah, what was that about? I mean...
It was terrifying is what it was.
Yeah.
But that guy is apparently, he's a well-known street performer in Mallorca. But if you don't know that, it's just like, it's incredibly disturbing is what it is.
Yeah, it was very odd. I thought it was like an invisible man. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's what it is, actually. It's the full costume, I think, has sunglasses that are wired onto the outfit.
Okay.
And they move their arms around. But it's kind of disturbing out of context, I think.
All right, well, let's handicap the rest of the race going forward here. We have the final four teams, the same final four teams we started with last week. We said that Josh and Brent are really the dark horse here, but we're feeling good about them all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm backing off of that. Anything really can happen, and this episode, it kind of did.
Yes.
They have a good shot. As good a shot as anybody.
Could the Twinsies rebound?
Absolutely. They're a strong team. They've done great so far, and this was really the only time we've seen them have a major stumble.
Yeah.
I hope they win.
What about the Chippendales? Are you feeling good about them because of the increased talk of their families? Jessica Frey wants
to know. Well, they have a sob story now. They have you wanting them to win the $1 million so that James can pay for cancer treatments for his father. So they got that going for them, and they're a very strong team, and they're nice to each other, and they've powered through most of the tasks, even with brown-haired James having the bum ankle. So yeah, they could absolutely. I don't see them running into a lot of trouble. If they don't win, it's going to be an outside circumstance that bumps them out.
Jessica, could you give me odds? What are the odds that if I went to Tarkon Sunday night, that I would see James and James wearing shirts at Tarkon?
If they're coming to Tarkon, they're going to at least have bow ties. I don't know what they'll have on under the bow ties.
Yeah. I think that there would be a 1 in 400 chance that they're wearing shirts. And maybe because it might just be very cold. That might be the only reason.
Yeah, it's really warm here today, so I don't know what it's doing this weekend.
Okay. And Trey
but
and
Lexi, you could probably go around without a shirt today.
Trey and Lexi, are we saying that they're the
Trey and Lexi
favorite to win?
I'd say that in a vacuum they'd be the favorite to win. Because they're the strongest team left. They've won the most legs and they haven't fallen apart over anything. But they're incredibly boring, and I can't imagine anybody outside of their friends and family rooting for them right now.
Yeah. What team is the fan favorite, would you say?
Probably the Chippendales.
Chippendales, wow.
They're both interesting. They're interesting, they're attractive, and they're good racers.
Good racers.
But Beekman's probably have a pretty solid fan base, too.
Yeah.
Everybody that gets the Cooking Channel.
And last question, Jessica. Which team are you most excited to run into at Tarkon this Sunday night?
That's a good question. I'm very excited to run into the Twinnies because I enjoy feeling vindicated.
Yes.
And they've been my favorite all season.
They're the most fun. I agree. They're the best TV and they're the most fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So that's what I'm rooting for anyway.
I will put my official stamp of approval. The only team from this season that I think should come back for an all-star appearance. There you go.
If I had a bell, I would ding that in response.
Yes. Yes. I have officially endorsed the Twinnies. All right, Jessica. Well, have fun on Sunday night. Take plenty of pictures. And can't wait to hear how it went.
All right. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jessica Leese, our amazing race reporter, telling us exactly what is going down on the Amazing Race, getting ready to go to Tarkon this upcoming Sunday night. A very busy month here in reality TV. It's a December to remember in terms of reality TV this month and on Rob as a podcast. Now, something that we started doing last week, and I'm very much looking forward to continuing to do all month long here in this December to remember, we started doing the official Tundra Caption contest sponsored by our friends over at robhasatundrahat.com. And so we had our first ever picture of Richard Hatch that we wanted you to caption. And again, if you're at work watching the show, it's NSFW. It's not a safe picture for your workplace unless you work from home. Like I do, then it's still not even that safe. But we had our Tundra Caption contest. And so you can check that out every week at robisawebsite.com/Tundra Caption. And so I've gone ahead and we had over 200 captions submitted for our picture of Richard Hatch. And I picked out the top five nominees. I was emailing with Otis yesterday. And I can tell you the winner of this week's Tundra caption contest. All right, here we go. Drum roll, please. The winner of the Richard Hatch first ever Tundra caption contest. the winner is Senorita, whose caption was "Prevent shrinkage, stay warm with a Tundra hat." That's good. And I think anytime you can work a Seinfeld reference in, that's going to be good as well. Prevent shrinkage, stay warm with a Tundra hat. Not a Sundra hat. Stay warm with a Tundra hat. And I will message Senorita and contact her about how to claim her Tundra hat. And then we're going to do it all over again this upcoming week. On Wednesday night, I will post the new Tundra caption picture. And we will see what you guys come up with this week. And then next Tuesday, I will give away another Tundra hat here on Rob Has a Podcast. So lots of fun stuff. And thanks so much to Adas for making this possible. You can go to Rob Has a Tundra Hat anytime and get anybody who is could be called a Tundra hat this holiday season. Use the coupon Rob Has a Coupon at Tundra, robhasatundrahat.com, and save 25% there on the Tundra hats, which I wish I had mine in New York because it was very cold, and I had to wear like a hoodie like Pete, and it would have been much better if I could have had a Tundra hat. So let's start to shift gears a little bit into some Survivor talk, and we'll get ready to talk about the final six. I was very disappointed to see Penner go out of the game last week. As many of you guys know, I'm a very big Penner fan. I talked to him on Thursday. Also over the weekend, if you missed it, I posted a first ever Rob Has a Podcast flashback episode, and it was something that I thought was a fun idea to do because it was 1 year ago on December 1st, 2011 that I talked with Jonathan Penner during Survivor South Pacific, and I felt like it was a fun time to sort of like, we just finished seeing him on this season. I thought it was a fun time to go and look back on what Penner was thinking 1 year ago, because who knows if he knew he was going to be back on Survivor within, you know, 3 or 4 months of doing that interview. I certainly had no idea. And it was a really fun interview for me to do. It's one of my favorite interviews. It was also, I thought, very interesting with, looking back at the past. But then there was also a lot of talk about the future, about what could, you know, who from Survivor South Pacific could be coming back to Survivor, and what does that mean? So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the Rob Has a Podcast flashback episode, and you have some time before Wednesday night Survivor, definitely check that one out. All right, so let's start to get some Survivor thoughts going through your head. If you want to send in a question, you can submit one anytime using this blue button down here, video questions, text questions. We will take them all, and I want to hear your thoughts. Now, final six, I'm not expecting an especially crazy episode. I don't think there's going to be a big swing this week. I think we have the alliance of four, where we have Scoopin, Lisa, Malcolm, and Denise. We have that block of four, and then we have they're basically going to pick off either Carter or Abby this week. So we'll see. It's going to be fun to see who ultimately goes. My pick would be Carter because he seems like he would be the immunity threat here. And Abby Maria is a much more beatable jury opponent, though I'm not sure exactly how Carter might win in the final two or three. But we will we'll see how it goes. And Aaron Robertson is here. He is ready to go and give us some of his thoughts on this Survivor season. So let's go ahead. Let's bring in Aaron Robertson.
Hey.
Aaron, are you there?
I am here. I am here. I'm ready to talk about this.
Now you're laughing. Are you doing something to your voice?
No. I don't know. Maybe drink the Kool-Aid. I have no idea. I'm just excited. You know, this is like the first time in the whole entire game that we have more Mots, original Mots singing tribe members than another tribe, which could actually count.
Aaron, I gotta tell you, You gotta stop right there, because right now, you sound like T-Pain right now, and you're talking in robot voice. Yes, yes. say some more things as the survivor reporter robot.
I have no idea. Maybe I'm like naturally talking in some. Did something happen to my mic or something? Is it coming across like a mockingbird like this? I'll probably like laugh listening to this.
Yeah. Well, so why don't we have you? Why don't we have you X out and just restart you? Start your browser. You're not using Chrome, are you? Chrome is bad for Spreecasting. Oh, that's funny. I thought he was doing it on purpose because he came on and he was smiling and laughing more than usual. But yeah, that was definitely not intentional from Aaron Robertson. We can't have people in robot voice calling in. So let's see. Yeah, no robot voice. No T-Pain. All right. So let's fire away with some more questions. We got Taboo Buzzer ready to go. Taboo Buzzer says MVP Lisa, but she won't win or win fan favorite. Bummer. Well, I talked about the fan favorite award on the last podcast of how I have not been approached for an endorsement yet. On the fan favorite, I do expect a fan favorite announcement coming soon. So keep your eyes peeled for who we should be endorsing for fan favorite of this Survivor season. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. I know you're waiting with bated breath to see who I will endorse for fan favorite of the season. All right, Aaron Robertson, let's try him again. Take two.
Okay, is it normal now? Is it normal?
Yes, Aaron. Oh,
okay.
No, good. It's not normal now.
Okay, yes. I guess I was using Chrome, and I didn't know that did that to your voice, so I'm not going to use Chrome anymore. That's not going to happen.
I don't know if that's what it does, but they say you're not supposed to use Chrome on Spreecast. But good to have you back to normal. And so, Aaron, what are you thinking?
Oh, my God. This is crazy. I think Jonathan, he did make a couple of mistakes, in the past couple of weeks of, not really accepting Lisa's alliance. I guess he's, like he said, he had played an honest game for so long that he was still in this mindset of, like, I have to be honest and I don't want to make a promise that I won't or can't keep. And so he just told her, not right now, and it sort of cost him. I do think, though, that for Scoopin and Lisa, if they want to have any chance of winning at all, they really, really should have taken out either Malcolm or Denise, or at least tried to, because I feel like they would have a much harder road now taking out two threats in Malcolm and Denise, rather than sticking with Jonathan and Carter, taking out Malcolm and Denise, and then booting out Jonathan at four and taking Carter to the final three.
Yeah, I agree. To speak to your first point about Penner, when I asked him in my exit interview with him, what he had said was that Lisa was not actually in the final three in his mind. He wanted to go to the final three with Scoopin and Carter. That was the final three that he had set up. So then when Lisa and Scoopin come to him, I think he felt like, well, you're sixth. I'm already in the final three in my mind with Scoopin and Carter. Why would I shake that up? And if you think about it, it sort of makes sense that the answer that Penner gave was almost like the answer that somebody in the better position would give somebody in the weaker position. Like, we're sort of seeing it like, oh, Penner, you're six in here in the totem pole. Why wouldn't you take that offer? But in Penner's mind, he's third, or he's second or third, and Lisa is sixth. And she's saying, hey, why don't we go to the final three? And he's like, you know, let's just wait it out. Let's see how it goes. Let's just play it by ear. And that's what you tell somebody who's on the bottom, like, hey, just sit tight, you know, hang in there. So it makes sense when you think about it that way.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest dangers of this game, is that you kind of get in the mindset of, you know, oh, I'm really in control of this game. You know, I'm in the best position. When really, I mean, you may be in the worst position, but, you know, when you're playing, you think, you know, I'm playing a really good game right now. You know, nothing's stopping me from getting to the end. And if you always approach, you know, the game or talking to people in that manner, it could sort of, like, blur your vision and sort of cost you in some way down the road.
I think as a general rule, most of the survivors for most of the game think of themselves, they're in the final three, and then you don't see people until, like, basically the writing is on the wall. They're like, whoa, I'm getting voted out next here. I got to pull out all the stops. But for the most part, everybody's like, oh, everything's going according to plan. I got my alliances, and I'm going to the final four. And I think that's a lot of times why people don't make big moves, because everybody thinks they're in the final two and final three the whole time. So even though they're wrong, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Here's a good question. This is from Alex Fotopoulos. He says, what do you think that Malcolm's brother is going to say that's so horrible? I have a theory, but it might not be PC. Now, I couldn't make out on the commercial what Malcolm's brother said. Did they show what he said, or they just said one survivor's family member says something that's very offensive?
I don't think he really said anything that may have been offensive. I guess I could probably think that maybe either Malcolm wins the reward and his brother's just so off the walls and maybe just says a couple of things in his interactions to other people, you know, to kind of make people project that onto Malcolm, like, you know, your brother's really annoying us or something. I think it's probably just going to end up being his personality more than what he says. It kind of rubs people the wrong way in a sense.
I mean, he must have to say something because, yeah. I mean, as annoying as, like, if, like, you have an alliance with Malcolm, what would his brother have to come in and say? That you'd say, you know, I think we got to vote out Malcolm. His brother really was annoying. His brother really said some odd things to say. We really got to vote him out now. Keith Dixon, do you think a family member will recognize who Lisa Welchel is? Is that what did Malcolm's brother come in and say, hey, where's Mrs. Garrett? Is that what maybe happened?
I'm trying to think, you know, maybe you didn't, I mean, I'm trying to think who would be older that would be there? I mean, who would Denise have? Somebody like her husband or something? Or maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't think Carter would Carter have his mom or his sisters? I can't really, I mean, unless a family member is like old enough to remember, I don't see that happening at all. And especially if the other people don't know that are already there. Yeah. So I can't imagine. I can't imagine that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I can't imagine what could possibly come up. It's very intriguing to think about it. What could possibly come up where that he could say something that Malcolm would be so mortified that he's saying?
Yeah, I can't come up with anything.
If it was Jeff Kent and it was like, oh, and Jeff Kent's kid says something that's going to screw him up. Like, obviously, it's like, hey, Dad, guess what? The Giants won the World Series. Like, you know, something like that. You know, or even Lisa's kids, like, talk about, like, hey, Mom, you're nominated for, TV Land Award this year. Something like that. I can't imagine what Malcolm's brother could say.
Unless it's something about Malcolm where it's like, hey, Malcolm, remember that time you did X, Y, and Z? And, you know, maybe, like, Scoopin' and Lisa as more of the Christian type are going to be like, whoa, Malcolm, I didn't realize you did X, Y. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
You're getting even, like,
that's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, what have you gone to? Yeah. So we'll see. Perry White says, is Malcolm getting the same treatment as James from Survivor China? He's considered an immunity threat but hasn't won individual immunity. Well, he's been good in the challenges. You can't say that he's just like a guy who's not coordinated or not physical. I mean, he dominated, what was it, the lacrosse challenge where they had to do the, what was it? I forget what they call that challenge. But, I mean, he has been a good physical player. Yes, he hasn't won immunity, but I think that's more of a anomaly than anything that's a real reflection of his ability.
I honestly think Malcolm has been holding back because he showed a strong presence in the tribe challenges. I think once it came time for individual immunity, I think, you know, he kind of made the choice to hold back. And I think it's more of the potential that he has the potential to win immunity, especially as, like, there's less physical threats as the game progresses.
Yeah. All right, let's take a few more Survivor questions, and we'll start to wrap this up as we get ready for tomorrow night's Survivor. Keith wants to know, do you think that Malcolm's brother said, hey, I saw that old broad on a show on TV Land? Do we think that's what he might have said?
Oh, wow. That would be great if he actually did, or something to that effect. I don't think that's going to happen, though. It would be a great moment. It would be.
I don't think so either. I think if that was what happened, they would be like, and one of the family members recognizes Lisa. Like, he's either going to come out and just say something that's like basically, like, come out and say, like, a word that you're not supposed to say. Mm-hmm. If Malcolm's brother comes out and, they give him a hug. And then Jeff's like, whoa, great hug by Malcolm and his brother. And the brother's hey, Jeff, back off, man. We're not gay. Like, you know, and it's like, and he goes like over the top, like, talking about like, cause I'll tell you something about the gays, Jeff. That's not cool in my book. Like, and then everybody's like, whoa, he really went too far. Unless, you know, that's the only thing I can see happening. Yeah, basically pulling a big Jeff, we'll call that. Jeff, look, that's perverted. I would never hug my brother in any sort of perverted way because that it was. There's a lot of kids that watch this show, Little Jeff, and, you know.
Oh, So if there was a final two with Carter and Abby and Rhea, I think Carter would actually walk away. I mean, that would be a hard one. I think Carter might edge over Abby and Maria because I think RC, Jeff, Penner, Lisa would probably be sort of bitter in a way that she made the end. And I think, I think Carter would walk away with that.
Although it would be close. It would, Aaron, there is no need to talk about this scenario. There is no chance Carter, Abby, Maria, final two could possibly occur. We don't need to waste any brain cells trying to figure out that configuration.
Oh my God! What if that actually did happen? That would be a crazy ending to this.
that would be a crazy ending. All right, last question from Taboo Buzzer, real quick, and then we got to wrap this up. Taboo Buzzer, so can we whiteboard the jury votes? Yes, we will do. We'll do that on Survivor Know-It-Alls. We'll do that with Steven next Wednesday night. So, Aaron, thank you very much for the call. Great to hear your regular voice once again. Always a thrill. And Aaron, and with it, we will be the Friggin' Five will be returning in January in the Survivor season. Yes. And we will
get the
final
remix, guys.
The remix of the Friggin' Five theme song. All right, thank you so much, buddy. And we want robot voice in the next remix of the Friggin' Five. All right, so let's start to wrap this show up. Of course, it is December. Time to start getting all of the people that you have to get the gifts for. Everything that, you know, you don't want to leave it to the last minute like this guy does. Get ahead of the curve. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Amazon.com is amazing. They have everything you could possibly imagine for anybody that's on your list. If you don't know what to get people, you could look at gift ideas sorted by different, like for men, women, moms, brothers, whatever. They do all the thinking. It's better than just wandering around the store like I used to do. Like, oh, really? You're just going up and down the aisles looking for something, and then you got to wait in a long line. Forget about it. Go to robswebsite.com/Amazon. Save money. Support Rob Has a Podcast. We appreciate it when you do, and save yourself a lot of aggravation this holiday season. All right, so coming up the next couple of days, we are going to do Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up this Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern with Stephen Fishback. Then we'll talk to the latest person who gets kicked out of the tribe on Thursday morning. I suspect Carter or Abby Maria. My money is on Carter. And so we'll see which of those two people show up, or if something crazy happens, which we don't expect. Then Thursday night, I'll have a podcast for you with the winner of Survivor the Amazon, Jenna Maraska. We'll get her thoughts on everything going on with Survivor Philippines. And she's been watching this season and has been enjoying it. Who knows? Maybe we can get her to give us a pick on who's going to win the Amazing Race even. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Then next week, it's all coming down to it. It's finale week on Rob Has a Podcast. We'll be back here next Tuesday. We'll be doing Survivor Know-It-Alls next Wednesday night. We'll try to pick our winner going into the finale. We'll talk to the next person kicked off the show. We'll talk to another Survivor winner the following week, and then it all comes down to it. We will do I haven't decided yet when to do my recap show. I may do it Sunday night, or I may go to the finale. We'll see. Definitely let me know in the comments which you prefer, if we do the show live right after or the next morning, and then we'll have our exit interviews with the final four after that ends on December 16th, Survivor finale night. Okay, so thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun today. Thank you to Jessica Frey, producing one hell of a Spreecast. Thank you to Jessica Lees. And, of course, thank you to Aaron Robertson and his robot voice and his regular voice. So have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.